All right, lecture three, establishing a recruiting vision for youth ministry. Again, my name is Steve Elzinga. I hope you enjoyed the first two lectures, and you know, hopefully you start not only thinking about some of the things that you're learning, but if you can, try to put them into practice. All right, a vision is especially important if you want to start a ministry. This verse has probably been used, perhaps overused. this is Paul speaking to King Agrippa, and he's sharing his testimony. And at one point, Paul says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient from the vision from heaven." Paul, you know, was against Christianity, and then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and gave him a vision that would carry Paul on for the rest of his life. It was a vision that Paul didn't initiate. It was a vision that God gave Paul. But it was a vision that fit the life, the experiences, the gifts that Paul had. So even though the vision came from God, it was designed by God for Paul. And so, as you start thinking about doing ministry, here specifically youth ministry, the question is, what exactly is God calling you specifically? Okay, you with your unique gifts and abilities. Now, if you're starting something, and you need the help of other people, or you're starting something for the benefit of others, then somehow, especially in the beginning, you need some kind of vision, or no one will follow. Okay, you need leaders to help you, so you need people to follow you in that. And then if you're trying to start a group, you need people that are willing to come to the group. So one way or another, you need people to follow. And why should anyone follow you anywhere? Where are you going? Okay, that's what people want to know. People don't follow someone until they have an idea of where that person is going. They need to know who this person is, and they have to like this person, and they have to understand where this person is trying to take them. And then if they like it, they see the value, then they will join you. So when you start thinking about youth ministry, there's certain pieces to it, parts to it, that you need to start thinking about and maybe articulating in some way. Because ultimately, you have to communicate your vision for what you want to do with others, whether it's other leaders or with youth that you want to come to this youth ministry. All right, so what are these parts of a vision for youth ministry? Probably the most important is faith formation. Faith formation. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith formation is, you know, the basics of discipleship. How do you help people get to know God? How do you help people trust God? How do you get people to have a walk, a vibrant, alive walk? And how do you get people to share that walk with others? This is the most basic part of a vision. So as you start thinking about that, how would you help young people, for example, get a walk with God? And we'll talk more about this as we go, but you know, a walk with God is listening to God through His Word, talking to God through prayer. How would you get that discipline of, let's say, devotions in the lives of young people? What would be your vision for making that happen? Because that, and why is that so important? You know, your goal is to have young people walk with God, and how are you going to do that? Well, people that you're trying to convince to be a part of your youth ministry would have to see what it is that you want to do, or how you want to do it. Number two, mentorship. Philippians 3:17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Modeling. Discipleship, you know, we mentioned in the last lecture, Matthew 28, you know, all authority has been given to me to make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. Teaching is one thing, but teaching them to obey is more like discipleship, more like modeling. So how are you going to do that in your youth group? So let me go back to that. So if you're recruiting, for example, other leaders, it'd be like, this is what I need. And I see you, I see what you're doing in your life, I see your marriage, I see what you're doing with your children. I think you would be a great model for young people. Okay, number three, teaching. Okay, teaching is, you know, sometimes we model, but sometimes we have to actually put words together. We teach the Bible. We teach kids about the society around them and what they're going to face. So, you know, maybe you have the gift of teaching, or maybe you don't. So then you're going to need leaders. You know, I need you, Bob, to help out in the youth group because I see you as a great teacher. Number four, gift development. Okay? One of the things that you want to do with your youth ministry is to help kids discover the gifts that God has given them. It's like one of the main things. So you're letting kids know that that's what you want to do, but you're letting potential leaders know this is what we're about. We want to help these kids discover their potential, their God-given potential. Romans 12, 6a, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. Okay? Kids, again, youth, often have that sense of insecurity. They don't think they're good enough. They think people are judging them. They think every time they do something, that, you know, they look right away. Did I get any likes? Did anyone notice? Am I any good at this or not? So to give kids the freedom to discover their gifts, which involves a lot of failure. You have to fail many times to figure out what your gift is. But if you create an environment where we allow that, we celebrate it. We celebrate people trying things. And even when they fall flat on their face, we go, good try. Now let's try something else. Number five, preparing for adulthood. Train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Young people are sort of in between. You know, when you're a child, you're sort of dependent on your parents. You kind of go with the flow with what they're doing. But as you enter this youth ministry age, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, early 20s, you're trying to become more independent. You're trying to figure out how it is that you can stand on your own two feet and where you're going to stand in the world. So as you're thinking about starting a youth ministry and you want to, for example, try to get other, you know, adults to help you, it'd be like sharing this vision. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to prepare them for adulthood. This is not just babysitting. We're not just, you know, well, churches need a youth ministry. I need some help to do this and let's try to keep kids out of trouble. No. You're taking an active role in molding and shaping them so they can take their place in the adult world. And, you know, you could say, well, parents, that's their job. Well, parents are struggling. And God set up this system, you know, not just families, but extended families and tribes. You know, the early Israelites, they were put in tribes. There were groups of people around you. We do this together. You know, especially in the United States, we have this individualistic kind of thing. You know, everyone is in charge of their own thing. And so many families are struggling because of that, because we need others. And young people need other adults in their life to mentor, to show, to equip, to encourage, all of those things, to prepare them for adulthood. Number six, grounding youth in a biblical worldview in contrast to a culture that is more and more hostile to Christianity. One of my favorite verses, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed, not conformed, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not conform to this world. Young people are incredibly susceptible to whatever's around them. They want to fit in. They want to belong. It's like young people, it's like their lives are like jumping into a river. You jump into the river and the river will take you wherever it goes. You don't decide which direction the river is going. The river decides and just takes you. And for young people, it's much like that. They have a culture around them, and that culture is going and doing whatever it is going to do. And in a more and more secular culture, it's taking them away from God. So one of the vision points that you might use to, let's say, recruit other leaders to begin this youth movement in your church or wherever it is you're trying to do it, is I need help. I need help grounding youth in a biblical worldview. And here's why. Here's what the need is today. If we don't do this, our young people are just going to go down the river. Number seven, creating an atmosphere of Christian community where students support one another, challenge one another, share their faith with one another. Hebrews 10. Oops. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not neglecting to coming together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day come near. Encouragement. Before that, Paul talked about, spurring. Consider how we stir one another up. The other translation is spur, you know, like a cowboy with, you know, he's got the cowboy boots and they have those pointy little things on their boots and they would dig into the sides of a horse to get him going. As a community, we need to be both challenging, spurring, come on, let's go, let's do this, and encouraging, good job, you can do it. Okay, we need a community of people that do that with one another. A lot of times young people, if just left to their own devices, can do the challenge part. You know, they're in sports, they're rated in school, you know, this one is an honor student, this one isn't. You know, this one gets a lot of dates, this one is great on the athletic field, this one isn't. You know, there's a lot of competition among young people. Competition, left, right, and center. So it's easy for, you know, kids to feel left out. And there's no specific person going, you can do it. But what if you come in and you create a culture where young people actually encourage one another instead of always just competing? Like, I'm going to beat you. No, I did beat you, but I think you can do better. In fact, I think you might have a hidden talent, and if you worked at it, you might be better than me. Now, you could get young people to say that. To get young people to feel like they're on the same team instead of always in an adversarial role with one another. Number 8, service. Okay? One thing we want to do with the youth ministry is to teach kids that life is not just about them. Service. When you are insecure, so young people are kind of insecure, they don't know who they are, the focus tends to be on oneself. What about me? What about the encouragement that I need? What about my opportunities? What about me? And the problem with that is you will never feel secure if it's all about you. Security comes when you discover that you can make a difference in the people, in the lives of the people around you. In other words, service. Philippians 2:4, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. And young people need encouragement in that direction, right? Their natural tendency is, you know, I'm feeling insecure. I can't run around. I don't have any motivation to encourage people around me because I haven't been encouraged myself. My gas tank is empty and I have nothing to give to anyone around. But if, you know, youth ministers come in and work with kids and teach them how to be encouraging and give them opportunity and model and demonstrate, then, you know, young people can discover that actually your tank gets filled when you give something to someone else. You get something when you give it away. But that has to be modeled and taught. Number 9, part of the vision for what youth group, youth ministry does. Missions. Again, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Missions. And, you know, and I guess that goes along with this whole service idea. But we're not only called just to do good things for the people around us, but to actually help people come to know God more and to trust God more and to walk with God and experience God. Missions, evangelism. The only reason that we exist right now and the end of the world hasn't happened is because God has people in mind for us to reach. And when that, the Bible says, when that is finished, then the world will end. And, you know, we'll get on with heaven and eternity. So, in some ways, missions is the ultimate purpose. It's not making a living. It's not starting a family. All these things are just tools that God has given us so that we can be better evangelists, better at sharing Christ with others. Young people are just discovering, you know, how important God is or what God is in their life, and they're just discovering what their potential is for sharing that and making a difference. When I was 19 years old, I went on a mission trip to Ogden, Utah. And it was the first time that I had, you know, taught anything. You know, I taught Sunday school. They gave me an opportunity to preach a sermon. It was horrible. But it was my first opportunity to try to say something to others, to say something significant, to share my testimony. It was the first time I knocked on doors and had to share my faith with total, absolute strangers. It was a total, absolute, amazing experience. And the confidence that I got from those experiences changed the rest of my life. And that's what you can do in youth ministry. Number 10, evangelism. I guess I segued into, you know, I get missions, some people think, is like foreign stuff, you know. And youth ministry can, you know, be the catalyst to taking a youth group to a whole other country. People experience a whole different world. And often the mission is not, it's not the young people going to some other country doing the mission. It's often the people in that foreign country doing the mission to your young people. It's a mutual thing. We'll talk about that in another lecture. But number 10 is evangelism, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ in the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Do this with gentleness and respect. We'll talk more about this verse too later. But to give kids that vision to go beyond their own walk with God. Well, how do you use, you know, these 10 things? Because these 10 things are just 10 basic things that generally youth ministry does in some way. And you may have a unique way of doing that, and you have to figure out how you're going to do that. But then once you've done that, what do you do with it? Okay, what do you do with this vision? You have the vision. Okay, you may have to do some work on that, but let's say you have this vision, now what do you do with it? First, look for potential leaders with different gifts that can share the load. These are the things that you need done. Okay? So now you look at other adults that might have this gift or that gift that may help you do those things, because there's no way you're going to be able to do them all. So use the vision to find the people that you need. Then invite. Just share the vision with as many people as you can. You don't know, you know, who might be ready. You might think, well, you know, they're busy, they have kids, and you know. Just share the vision. Don't disqualify people ahead of time, because that's a tendency, right? You want help, but you don't dare ask for help. You start thinking about talking to them. They're not going to want to. It's going to be an awkward situation. You know, just share the vision and the need, and give them the opportunity to say yes or no. Don't say yes or no for them. Share your vision for youth ministry. Okay, share these things that you're talking about. And finally, relax. It's not your ministry. So, you know, when you're starting a ministry, there's a lot of pressure. Hi, I'm starting this thing. It might fail. It might not do any good. You're not starting your ministry. You're starting a ministry of God. God has led you to this. You know, if it's not the right timing, then, you know, maybe things won't work out. Well, that's God's problem, not yours. Ultimately, the youth ministry is on God's shoulders and not yours. So figure out look at these different things. Try to think about how you might do them. Maybe write it down. You know, write it down in, you know, like one page. Don't have a whole book, but one page. And then you just start, you notice people that might have gifts that might help you do this, and just hand it to them. Hey, I'm thinking about youth ministry. Here's why. And here's, you know, something that I'm looking for. You know, read it and see if God might be calling you to help in this. You give it to 30 people. 30 people. Because all you need is 3. You got 3, you can start. All right, we'll see you next time.